Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we are anticipating the launch of the Space Shuttle Atlantis. This is the last space shuttle in the space shuttle program, and it is due to launch, if NASA stays on schedule and weather permits, at 11:26 a.m. 26, mind you. In the meantime, we are going to introduce NPR's Mike Pesca, who is going to be talking with us about baseball season, and the trial of baseball legend Roger Clemens. Mike, are you with us?
I am. Hi. How are you?
I am well. Now, Mike, we're going to have you do a little pinch hitting, if you will, on the space shuttle. I bet you weren't anticipating that, or maybe you were.
We have another example of an aging veteran trying to get one last big ride out of his body. Are we talking about Derek Jeter or the shuttle?
Did you work on that all morning?
Nah, top of the head.
All right.
No, we have 55 seconds until the shuttle launches. So at about 45, if you want to do the countdown from 10, that could be cool.
Now, are they saying that the weather is going to permit this? Because I was hearing that it was a bit cloudy and they were waiting for those clouds to clear. But during my last segment, which was taking place over in England, maybe our clouds down there in Florida have cleared.
I think that's why they do it at 26, right? Because they get the exact time.
That's
that they
exactly
have their
right.
Window, yeah.
Okay, it looks like we're at the 35-second mark, Mike, so let's dip in.
But it's stalled. I see the clock has stalled at 31. Something has happened.
Right. I actually, now believe it or not, the magic of television, even though we're on radio, I can see that it's stalled too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's actually, it looks like it's running again. Let's take a dip in and listen. And Mike, you're going to stay with us. Let's take a listen to NASA.
Positioning camera 62 right now. Okay, let us know as soon as 62 is flown over and you can verify LCC for GVA retract, please. And all personnel, we're holding here 31 seconds while we get a verification that the GVA has fully retracted. For our pre-plan.
This is CMEC. We verify retracted.
Okay, and you can verify that it is fully retracted per the instructions that we've been that we developed, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and STE?
And NTD, STE concurs. They satisfy the requirements of GSC 13 pre-plan contingency. I'm go.
Okay. Okay, I copy. And launch director.
Yes, sir. I heard all that and concur.
Press on. All right, very good.
NTD, STE.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I need concurrence to GLS and ask to clear the hold, please.
All right, so they have stalled the countdown for now, and anyone who is interested in following the launch of the space shuttle, WNYC is streaming live video of the launch, and our own Sotirios Johnson is hosting an online chat. At the same time, you can join him and WNYC shuttle fans for live video and an online chat right now on the homepage at WNYC.org. In the meantime, we're going to get down to business talking with Mike Pesca about the trial of Roger Clemens. If it looks like the launch is going to happen, we may dip back into that live if you're up for that, Mike.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what the GVA retraction is. Google's
all
not
right,
helping
now listen,
me.
Mike. Put the Google down for just a minute.
Okay.
All right. And then we'll dip back in there if it looks like it's going to take off. But right now, baseball season, of course, is in full swing. So is this trial of baseball legend Roger Clemens. He's been charged with perjury, false statements, obstruction of Congress, in fact, for allegedly telling a House committee under oath that he never used steroids or human growth hormone during 23 seasons. That's a long career in Major League Baseball. And you're here to help us understand the case and the possible outcomes for Clemens. And I also want to talk about the implication for Major League Baseball itself. And I know sometimes you sit here and you host for Brian, but today I need you to be our resident sports authority.
Yes.
I'm a big baseball fan, but you're the sports guy, and I'll put on a little bit of my legal analyst hat, and together we can work through it.
Can we be the space guy for a second? You want to tell him what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Look over here. It took off, and I know
there
we've got Sotirios. Wow, isn't this something? It really is something. I'm not a huge space fan, but this is really something. And, of course, everyone knows this is the last active space shuttle in the fleet. You know, it's going to be the end of the space shuttle program after this. Atlantis is the fourth operational space shuttle to be constructed by Rockwell. Let's dip in and take a listen to a little bit of it.
All right. 40 seconds into the flight, the three liquid fuel main engines throttling back to 72% of rated performance in the bucket, reducing stress on the shuttle as it goes transonic for the final time. Engines now revving up, standing by for the throttle up call. That call from Capcom Barry Wilmore, a transducer, instrumentation only, no action required. Atlantis now 15 miles in altitude, already 16 miles downrange from the Kennedy Space Center, 1 minute 40 seconds into the flight. Atlantis flexing its muscles one final time. Atlantis traveling almost 2,600 miles an hour, 21 miles in altitude, 24 miles downrange, standing by for solid rocket booster separation. Officer confirms staging a good solid rocket.
And so Atlantis is launched, and it's pretty amazing. Mike Pesca, I imagine you're kind of glued to it, huh?
It's great. I mean, although when you remember the past tragedies, I think, like a lot of people, my heart's always in my throat during this part of the mission. Atlantis is going to be retired at the Kennedy Space Center.
Yep.
New York City's getting Enterprise, and Enterprise will be housed on the Intrepid.
Yeah.
That will be a cool thing.
And as a Star Trek geek, I'm kind of into that. it's very cool, even if you're not a space freak like our own Darius Johnson, who's hosting a live chat along with this. Anyone who wants to check that out can go to WMYC.org. But even if you're not into it, listen to this. Atlantis has orbited the Earth more than 46,000 times. 4,600 times. I'm sorry, 4,600 times. I mean, think of those numbers. That means 120 million miles. Can you imagine that? I can't even get my head around that. That's 500 times the distance from the Earth to the Moon. It's hard to believe.
And, you know, if you add up the distance of all of Roger Clemens' pitches, now I don't know what they amount to.
Nice
I'm just
segue.
Trying to provide
nice
a segue back.
All
yeah.
right. You know what? We better do it, too, or else we're going to spend our whole time talking space. All right,
marveling at Atlantis. Exactly.
Well, it is pretty marvelous, but we'll leave the space chatters over there to Sotirios. Maybe they can do multitask and do both. But let's talk about Roger Clemens and his troubles, and any of our baseball fans who want to call in and give us their opinion about this. 212-433-WMYC. Should Roger Clemens even be on trial here? Are we getting tired of all of these trials about steroids? And really, it's lying about steroids that the trial is about. 212-433-9692, or you can post a comment, WMYC.org. Do you care? Do you think it's about time that he face the music? Or is it much ado about nothing? Mike, first of all, for those who might not know, Roger Clemens is a very big deal in baseball, right?
Yeah, you could argue that he's one of the two or three greatest pitchers in baseball history. Just in terms of the accumulation of Cy Youngs, he has seven of them, which is unprecedented. That's the award given to the best pitcher in baseball. Now, one of the reasons he has seven of them is that he has been able or was able to pitch at far into his career. And perhaps one of the reasons he was able to pitch into his late 30s very effectively is perhaps due to the use of performance-enhancing drugs, which so it's all his greatness is very much tied in perhaps to his alleged steroid use, but also, more importantly, his greatness is tied into his mindset. The man battles. The man never gave in. The man had what some call a football player's mentality on the mound. He looks like a football player. He's gigantic. He once, you know, threw a bat that splintered at the batter, Mike Piazza, quite famously. I mean, this is a guy that don't try to talk to Roger Clemens on a day he was pitching. And that sort of defiance, that sort of steadfastness perhaps is playing into his psychology, because whereas all these other players who are alleged to have done steroids either cop to it or cut a deal or somehow manage to make the court proceedings go away, with a couple exceptions, Roger Clemens fought it head on, and it was that desire to testify in front of Congress, which he didn't have to do, which he was told over and over again he didn't have to do. He insisted he wanted to do it to clear his name. And what happened was it didn't clear his name. It lands him in court today.
And that's how we get here. Of course, he is presumed innocent. But if he's convicted, what is he facing?
Well, there are six counts against him, two counts of false statements, two counts of perjury, one count of obstruction of justice. And it all comes as based on a 2008 hearing by Congress, by the Government Oversight Committee, where he denied doing steroids or performance-enhancing drugs and human growth hormone. The Congress called his former trainer, Brian McNamee, who had a lot of evidence that he did do performance-enhancing drugs and also introduced into the record were the affirmed statements of a teammate of his, Andy Pettitte, which were seen as very damaging, because even though Roger Clemens and Brian McNamee perhaps can be characterized as a he said, although McNamee has physical evidence, he saved swabs and vials that that have Roger Clemens' DNA. The injection of Pettitte, who is a guy who has the esteem of most people who cover baseball or ever followed the Yankees or ever have seen him in a press conference, a guy who really had no incentive to lie except to clear his conscience, and who was, by all accounts, best friends with Roger Clemens, looked up to Roger Clemens, and affirmatively stated that Roger Clemens did steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. That was seen as so embarrassing. And, of course, that will be introduced in the current trial, and we'll see how, and perhaps Andy Pettitte will even be, it's likely that he'll even be called to testify in the current trial.
Now, as you say, Roger Clemens testified before Congress, took it head on. Let's take a listen to some of what he had to say that brings him before a courtroom, 12 jurors and a judge now.
Do I think steroids are good for helping someone's performance? No. In fact, I think they are detrimental. These types of drugs should play no role in the game of baseball and athletics at any level. Should there be more extensive testing? Yes. I think whatever is necessary for everyone involved to satisfy themselves that is not going on should be done. I've been accused of something I'm not guilty of. How do you prove a negative? No matter what we discuss here today, I'm never going to have my name restored. But I've got to try and set the record straight.
And then, as you say, there is his best friend, by most accounts, and a man who is pretty much above reproach, even though, as you say, Mike, he has acknowledged his own use of performance-enhancing drugs, Andy Pettitte. And Clemens also spoke about his relationship with Pettitte, testified, I should say. That's important because it's under oath, and what Pettitte had to say about him.
Andy Pettitte is my friend. He was my friend before this. He will be my friend after this. And again, I think Andy has misheard.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I believe Andy has misheard, Mr. Congressman, on his comments about myself using HGH, which never happened.
Now, Mike, you hear him say, Mr. Congressman. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of talk back then about whether Congress should be wasting its time talking to baseball players about performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, this case is bigger than baseball, isn't it? Even folks who don't follow baseball have heard about Roger Clemens and his case.
Perhaps we forget that there was a hue and cry, maybe not among everyone, but among a significant number of people who very much wanted the federal government to get involved and to do something about what was seen as this scourge of steroids infecting baseball. And if you remember, not these hearings, but the hearings beforehand where Rafael Palmeiro said he never did steroids and where Sammy Sosa feigned incomprehension of the English language and where Mark McGwire refused to answer questions, and all three of those guys have been linked to steroids. Palmeiro failed a drug test. McGwire tearfully admitted that he did steroids. Sosa, very strongly linked. But before the baseball players testified, the parents of children who did steroids testified. And in some cases, those children committed suicide, and it was alleged it was due to steroid withdrawal. But we have to remember back that there was a very big call for Congress to do something. And this is what Congress does. They have the power to call hearings, to call public's attention to what was going on. Steroids are a Category 3 narcotic. You can't not prosecute steroid use. And when steroid use is being done by the highest profile people in society, the public demands that something be done. Now, money has been spent on this. And you can say, and this was said about the Barry Bonds trial, a lot of money was spent on his prosecution. And in the end, there was only one count, and it was a lying count, not a doing steroids count, that he was found guilty of. So people said, why is the government spending my money? Well, they spend your money if they get all their counts upheld or if they get one of their counts. That's still how much money they spend. And there really was people who wanted this to be looked into. And now, after all the dust has cleared, there seems to be an answer that, yeah, there was a lot of steroid use in baseball, perhaps without Congress, which, by the way, gives baseball an antitrust exemption. So Congress, it's Congress's job to regulate baseball because baseball enjoys an exemption that no other business does. People wanted Congress to look into it. Congress did look into it. Congress, along with the Mitchell Report, which was commissioned by Major League Baseball, former Senator George Mitchell wrote a report, and that got the ball rolling on Clemens. It's pretty much been proved that steroids and performance-enhancing drugs were used throughout baseball. So it's almost like now that we know that, well, why do we have to keep spending money? But what about giving credit to the fact that we know it? Now the day of reckoning has come. It doesn't feel good, but the reason the reckoning is upon us is because a lot of resources were devoted to looking into it.
Sometimes the truth hurts. All right, let's take a call from John in Paramus. John, you are on WNYC with Mike Pesca.
Yes, how are you doing? Very good discussion here. The worst thing about the whole case, the biggest punishment that Clemens and all those other people are going to have is they're never going to get into the Hall of Fame. So
the biggest, career, you say the biggest punishment?
Yes, them personally. Yeah, I mean, they could fine him. He's got plenty of money. I don't think he's really going to go to jail. I don't think they're going to go to jail. But the biggest punishment all these players have is they'll never get in the Hall of Fame. They have all Hall of Fame credentials, and they're going to be denied getting into the Hall of Fame.
John, thank you very much for your call and for that comment. Mike, your reaction.
I've done some reporting on this, and I think that there is a generational shift. To be a Hall of Fame voter, you have to spend 10 years or so as a member of the Baseball Writers Association. It's the writers who vote on Hall of Fames. And the current writers, they feel burned a little bit by having invested their own efforts, journalistic efforts, and in some cases their hearts, into the big home run chase between Sosa and McGwire. And it is likely that the older generation of voters will not vote these people in. But I think a younger generation coming up are going to be more forgiving. And especially, I mean, the accomplishments of Bonds, you could argue, even without steroids, are so prodigious and so amazing that perhaps as a player, what he did on the field has never been equaled. Roger Clemens couldn't be a more obvious first ballot, one of the greatest pitchers ever, Hall of Famer. And maybe someday there'll be a way to separate out what he did with the steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, or we should say what he allegedly did, and his baseball accomplishments. There's a lot of precedent with separating out the bad things that people did, sometimes even to cheat. So Ty Cobb did bad things. He was a bad person, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Other players did cheat and throw spitballs even after they became illegal, and they're in the Hall of Fame. So there's a lot of analogies between guys who are in the Hall of Fame who are either terrible people or affirmed cheaters, and they're still allowed in the Hall. So it might happen with some of these players, if not the majority of the great ones.
Now, while we're on the question of the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to ask you one of those, you know, quick questions in 10 seconds, but I think you can do it. It's on a happy Hall of Fame note, and I have to ask it. It's about Derek Jeter, right?
Yes.
He's coming up on 3,000.
Two hits away from 3,000.
Is it going to happen?
He's having a very bad year this year, but he'll probably get 3,000 soon, and yes, the answer is.
You think it's this weekend? When? When? Tell me when, Mike Pesca.
2 days from now. He'll go 1-for-4 in the next 2 days. I have no idea. He'll do it this weekend.
Not that I'm betting, Mike.
Buy tickets. He's having a terrible year, but he'll probably set the number, and that guy's a Hall of Famer because he's been an excellent shortstop for the most excellent team in baseball for the last 15 years.
All right, Mike Pesca, thank you so much. NPR's Mike Pesca for stopping by. Also, check out his podcast on Slate.com. And thanks for doing double duty on the shuttle.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, we're going to do a little Shakespeare in summer.